extreme difference here. And the comments below this video were hilarious. Each one declaring why one way is better than the other. But one comment that I found particularly interesting was this. American mom here. Now my kids think they're the best at everything and don't need to practice and quit when they aren't good at something immediately. Holy moly. So I'm in no way picking a side here or trying to convince you that one style of parenting is better than the other or telling you that you should shred to pieces every little incorrect piece of artwork that comes your way. I'm simply pointing out that praise that is not rooted in truth can actually be harmful to the one who is being praised. Genuine praise, however, benefits not only the one being praised, but also the one doing the praise and the ones around hearing the praise. So we're in the midst of summer camp at Camp Tecumseh. If I don't know you, if you don't know me, my husband works at Camp Tecumseh. We live there in the summer, and it is wonderful. So much fantastic stuff going on. And one of the really exciting things about living there and being in the midst of it is that we get to hear loads of great stories all summer about the impact of camp. One story that I know of this summer was about a kid who had a rough week. A series of very big feelings and mixed with some not so great choices led to a few not so great consequences for this little camper. And when his mother came to pick him up, she learned of these not so great parts. And though the mother obviously still loved her child, she was frustrated and exhausted and a little bit at a loss. So there were many things that were swirling around in her head, mostly though, frustration with these not so great choices. In the midst of this difficult moment, it was hard for this mother to see anything but her frustration. But just as she was getting swept down into her thoughts, she remembered that she needed to stop and pick up her son's meds from the nurse. This is when it all changed. When the mom said the name of the camper whose meds she was picking up, the nurse's face lit up. And she spoke such beautiful, unsolicited words of praise about the child, about his kindness and his great manners, about what a delight it was for her to get to see him every day. And at these words, the mother was lifted out of that twisting whirlwind of her own thoughts, reminded of the things that made her child so great in spite of the not so great choices. And her heart of frustration changed as she remembered, because all the things that the nurse said were true. The mom just needed a reminder. It was a gift in that moment to the son who was being praised, but also to the mother who was being reminded. Now, as God is by nature perfect in righteousness, all praise of him is truthful and pure. The complete opposite of empty praise. It's full. Even if we're not feeling it in the moment, but just need a reminder. When we look at the hymn psalms, you can certainly find the overlap with other genres. There's praise and lament. There's praise in love, there's praise in wisdom. The form of hymn psalms, though, is quite distinguishable among the others. It opens with the call to praise, and then it gives a list of things that we're going to praise God about, and then it closes with another call to praise. We're going to praise God. This is why we're going to praise God, and this is why we're going to keep on praising God. Psalm 150 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So, praise God everywhere, for everything, in every way, everyone. It seems a little bit of a tall order until we consider the blessing of praising God. So, what can praising God do for me? The act of praising God, let's see. There it is. Bummer. Nope. Oh, I had these animations. Never mind. The act of praising God recounts what God has done and who He is. This doesn't have to come from a place of deep feeling. Many times it's a choice in spite of our lack of feelings. It's a decision to open up. That process of recounting then reminds me of God's goodness and faithfulness. And when I remember these things, not just, oh yeah, I remember, but a remembering that reaches to the depths of my heart, it reorients my heart to worship God. While praising is a recounting of all the things that God has done and who He is, worship is the art of losing yourself in adoration of Him. And in that place of surrender of self and of will, it restores my soul. Like in these songs that we were singing about, it restores our soul like rest restores our bodies. And it realigns my priorities to mirror His own, potentially changing my plans or affirming those already in place. Now, to be fair, it doesn't always happen like that. Depending on where our hearts are when we sing the praises, it may not be quite so easy. But if we are present to our praises, something shifts. When we speak or sing our praises aloud, we open the opportunity for our praises to impact others in the same way. Like the nurse, like her praises did to the mother. Sometimes we need to hear the praises of God from others because we're caught in the whirlwind of our own thoughts and troubles. Sometimes we need somebody else to do the recounting to catalyze the reminding in us, the reorienting, the restoring and realigning of our hearts. Psalm 22:3 says that God inhabits the praise of His people. He is alive in our praise, and through them, His Spirit moves in our hearts. So, praise God everywhere, for everything, in every way, everybody. It's the spark that ignites the flames of our own hearts to worship Him and to live for Him. In the Psalms, there are 7 different Hebrew words translated as praise that I want to share with you this morning. The first one of them, Oh, all of my cool animations aren't working. Bummer. Oh well. So, the first one is halal. And it means to boast, to celebrate, to rave foolishly. This is a beautiful picture of David dancing undignified in praise. What? Did I do something? Oh, yeah, Dave should do it. Halal is the root of our hallelujah. Halal, which is to praise, plus Yahweh, the Lord, is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 113, 1-3, it says, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Halal. The second one is Yada. And Yada is to throw our hands out in worship, in reverence. It's very similar to like throwing something, like throwing an object. It's this throwing of our hands in worship. We can praise God with the movements of our bodies. Psalm 67:3 says, "May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." Like this. The third one is Tada. It's derived from Yada, but more specifically, it's associated with thanksgiving and sacrifice. It's to extend our hands in adoration, like a sacrifice of praise. It's used for thanking God for things that have been received and for those things that are not yet in hand. Psalm 104 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Tada. The fourth one is Shabak, to address in a loud tone. This is the excitement for who God is and what he's done that's so big that it cannot be held back, and it comes out as a shout. Psalm 145:4 says, "One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." This is not a quiet telling. It's a shout of acclamation. The fifth one is Barak, to kneel down, a posture of praise, showing humility in praise. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 2 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Barak. The sixth one is Zamar, to touch the strings or parts of an instrument, to make music accompanied by voice. What we did this morning with our worship band leading us. Psalm 71:22 says, "I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel." Zamar. The last one is na 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 tehillah. Tehillah is to sing praise. Tehillah is the title of Psalm 145, which we're going to dive into here in a moment. The plural Tehillim is the Hebrew title for the book of Psalms. Now, David wrote many psalms and even many hymn psalms, songs of praise. But Psalm 145, among all of them, is the only one that's titled a psalm of praise of David. It's David's Tehillah. Now, before we dive into it, let's talk a bit about its form. It is a hymn psalm, so it follows the form of the call, the list, and the call. But it's also an acrostic poem. It's the last of eight acrostic poems or psalms in the book of Psalms. Pastor Ara talked a little bit last week about acrostic psalms with Psalm 119. As a refresher, or if you weren't here last week, acrostic poetry takes the first letter of a word in each line and it spells out another word. So last week we had probably one of the most riveting works of literary art as an example, probably one of the best acrostics ever written, which was amazing, radical, awesome, Ara. Acrostics. So rather than spelling out a word or phrase, acrostic psalms use the alphabet. There are 22 Hebrew letters, generally one line for each letter. Or sometimes, as we did last week with Psalm 119, there were a series of lines for each letter. Psalm 145 is a bit unique in this area, as it only has 21 verses. The Hebrew letter nun is left out. It should fall between verses 13 and 14, but it doesn't. Several possible explanations for this missing piece include that it could have been accidentally omitted by a copyist, a clerical error, but it would have had to been an error on a very early copy because of the evidence that we have. Some versions, the NIV included, even provide a verse 13b that begins with none. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Hebrew word for faithful begins with none. It could be that David used the acrostic theme and just strayed from it. Many other acrostic psalms stray from the exact 22 letters in the order version. Psalm 9 has only 20 verses. Psalm 10 has 18 verses. Though some speculate that they could have been one acrostic poem together, it still doesn't add up to 22 or a multiple of 22. Psalm 37, which is also acrostic, has 40 verses, also not a multiple of 22. I am actually a math teacher in my day job, so I know that for sure. Some scholars think that David was intentional and symbolic in his omission. The Hebrew word for fallen also begins with the letter nun, making it incompatible with the uplifting theme of Psalm 145. Because verse 14 contains the Hebrew word for the fallen, the Talmud, which is the primary source of Jewish law and theology, conjectures that King David foresaw the fall of Israel, intentionally excluding a nun verse while hinting to it in verse 14, like an ancient secret decoder message. But regardless of the reason for the omission, it's very clear that this was written as an acrostic, intended to communicate the fullness and completeness of praise, that our God is worthy of all praise, worthy of all the words in his praise. And since David couldn't very well say all of the words in existence in his song, he represented all the words with all the letters. So let's take a look at this hymn psalm, this A to Z of praise, if you will. I will exalt you, my God, the King. This is a strong emphasis in this psalm of God being the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Praise often and always. So that's the call. Now here comes the list of praises. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. Again, the impact of the praises of another on somebody else. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. So many reasons to praise God. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. That was the secret decoder message, remember? Right there. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. That's the possible foretelling of Israel's fall. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He is present to all of his people. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Now for the call closing. My mouth will speak of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Because forever isn't enough. Forever and ever. So even in reading these praises, it makes me want to shabak. That's the shouting one. So I was thinking about doing something a little bit unconventional. Are you guys okay with that? Okay, whether you are or not, we're going to do it. So loads of people learn really well by listening, but loads of other people seem to learn better by practicing. So we're going to give it a go. We're going to create our own acrostic tahia. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have my helpers pass out some papers and pens now. You got some people to help you? Okay, excellent. Okay, looks like I've got two helpers. He's going around. And the paper that you get is going to have the English alphabet listed down the side. In a minute, but not yet, we're going to take some time to fill in as many lines as you can with praises to God. So if you are joining us online, then you can take this moment right now, because it's going to take a minute for us to get all situated and settled, to grab paper and a pen. Now, you don't have the alphabet listed down the side, but you can do that yourself. And if you need help finding the alphabet, you can Google it. It's on there. So this is not just for the adults or the youth, it's also for the kids. So kids, if you don't know how to write yet, you can draw pictures on that paper of your praises to God, and you can explain that to your grown-ups. So as you do this, I want you to think about who God is, his character, his attributes. I want you to think about what God has done in your life and the lives of the people around you, in the world, and throughout history. It could be a word. It could be a phrase that starts with each letter. Now, you can feel free to work completely on your own, or you can work with somebody else, or you can work together as a family. After about 5 minutes, we're going to bring our attention back together and see if, as a church, we can cover A to Z. So for those of you who like a good challenge, maybe don't start with A, maybe consider X, Q, and Z. Those are the tricky ones. So when the time is nearly up, you'll hear a song to cue you to start wrapping up your work. Are there any questions? Does everybody have everything that you need to be successful in this activity? Okay, let's begin. Tahila. Okay. Okay, we're gonna take another minute to finish up. Don't worry if you're not done. We're writing a Riverside Tehillah. You can finish your Tehillah later. Na 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 na. Tehillah. Okay. Let's see what you got, guys. That was your cue song. I sang it myself. So what we're gonna do? We're going to go through the alphabet, and again, remember, you don't have to have all of them done. We're going to see if we can make it through the alphabet, though, together. So when I call off a letter, if you've got one, raise your hand and we'll see if we can get somebody, lots of different people in. Okay, so let's start with A. Raise your hand if you've got an A. Emily.
Abel.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Oh, I'm just trying to write them down because I think it'll be fun. Okay, B. Michaela? What?
Believe.
Okay. Okay, what about C? Andrea? Compassionate. Okay, D?
Delightful.
That was a very delightful word. Okay, E? Elijah? He made all the elements. I love that, Elijah. That's great. Okay, what about F? Yeah. What is it?
Family.
Family? Oh, because we're part of the family of God? I like it. We are adopted as his children. Okay, G. Anybody get a G? Anne?
Gifts.
He gives good gifts. Yeah. Okay. H.
Honorable.
I. Yeah. Ben.
Infinite.
Huh?
Infinite.
I like it. J. Yeah.
Joins us.
Ooh, that's good. K. Kind. I like that. Good job, Elijah. L. Oh, did somebody else say kind? Good job, Jamie. Sorry. Great job. I love that word, Jamie. Trey.
Life.
Life? Yeah, he gives us life. That's great. M. Babby.
More wonderful than I can imagine.
Ooh, more wonderful than I can imagine. Okay. I like the phrases too. Okay. N. N. Please tell me we don't have none. Tim?
Nose, so I can smell God's creation.
Oh, I like it. Nose to smell God's creation. Sometimes. There are also other cool things. Yep. Okay, O. Ben?
One.
Yes. P? P? Yeah? Jim?
Powerful.
Yes. Q. Ollie.
Quinoa.
Quinoa? Okay, tell me more.
God gave us quinoa.
God gave us quinoa. And you like quinoa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you, God, for the quinoa. Praise him. Okay, R. Carolyn.
Redemptive.
That's beautiful, too. As well as quinoa, Ollie. I like that. S. Michaela?
Sorrow. He heals our sorrows.
That's good. T. Pete?
Trust.
I like it. Okay. Sorry, I almost skipped you. You. Huh? Oh, you have a T as well? You have a T? Let's hear it.
True.
Ah, that's good. That was extra hard for you guys because I should have put a Ukrainian one out. Yeah. Okay. What's about you?
Uncomparable?
Uncomparable. Okay. Oh, okay. Emily, did you have one as well?
Unchanging.
Go with the un. Okay, V.
Wonderful.
Yes. Yes. W.
I love it. Yes. Okay, what's our W? Wonderful. We have wonderful and wonderful. Yes, awesome. Okay, X. Who's checking in with the X? Nicole? X-ray vision of the heart. I like it. Nice. Okay, why? Why? Evan. Yearns for a relationship. That was good. And Z. Babby?
Zealous for me.
Zealous for me. We did it! Great job, everybody. So, as I said, you may not have gotten to finish your own tehillah. We did that together. I would encourage you to take this home and finish this so that you can have your own tehillah to praise God with. Perhaps this week, you might finish it and share it with somebody else, because maybe somebody else needs to hear your recounting. Recounting what God has done and who He is reminds yourself and others of God's goodness and faithfulness, and allows you, allows you to reorient your heart to worship Him for the restoration of your soul and the realignment of your priorities. Let your praises rise to Him and be transformed, for He is worthy of all the words of praise from A to Z. Let's pray.